Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Ayin Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins in the middle of Daf Ayin Tes. You will notice a new Mishnah there, 20 lines from the top. Before we begin the actual Mishnah, let's glance at the side. We have a Nosei, a topic heading, which reads as follows. Yesh lishmor al hakeren avur ha'isha b'chol hakoshur b'nechosim shenoflu la. It's our job, it's our task to guard, to preserve the principle of value, the principle of value of properties that a woman inherits. Ma oisim im ksofim, peros, mechubarim and tlushim. What do we do in the case that a woman inherits cash? So the cash itself, if used, so you will deplete the principle through the expenditure of that cash. Likewise, if she inherits fruits, if the fruits are, let us say she inherits a piece of land with fruits attached to the land, or she inherits fruits that are disconnected, what do we do with them? So now we turn to the Mishnah. Noflu lo ksofim. A woman inherits a cash. Yilokach bohen karka v'hu ochel peros. The husband will buy a piece of land, and the husband is entitled to the fruits of the principal. Peros hatzlushim in akarka. Let us say a woman inherits fruits that are disconnected. They're baskets of fruits. Yilokach bohem karka v'hu ochel peros. The fruits are sold in exchange for land, and he, the husband, benefits from the fruits. Peros hamechuborim bakarka. Let us say we're dealing with a case that you have fruits that are attached to the land. Omar Rebbe Meir. Shomin oiso kamo hi yofa beperos, v'kamo hi yofa below peros. We assess the value of the land. How much is it worth with grain, with produce growing in it? And how much is the land worth without the produce? Obviously it's worth more with the produce that is currently growing that's attached to the land. So the differential is the following. Umosar, the mosar is that extra amount that it's worth with the fruits, that differential, ilokach bohen karka v'hu ochel peros. The husband will pay for those fruits, and then he'll keep them, and he will then use the let's say he will pay for those fruits, and the money that he is, let's say, setting up for the fruits, he takes that money and buys a piece of land, and the fruits he'll keep for himself. V'hu ochel peros, and then he will consume the peros of the land that was purchased. V'chachomim omrim hamechuborim lekarka shelo. The fruits that are attached to the land that his wife inherits, those belong to him. Vatlushin min arkaka, those fruits that are detached, shelo, those belong to her. Vilokach bohen karka v'ochel peros. It appears that this presentation of the Chachomim regarding the peros tlushim is the same as the Tanakama, that peros tlushim, a piece of land is purchased, and he, the husband, benefits from the fruits. The point of difference, though, is with regard to the peros that are mechuborim lekarka, the fruits that are attached to land that she inherits. According to Rebbe Meir, he views them as principal, and the Chachomim view them as peros. And the reason for that is that the woman has the land as her principal anyway. There's a Rashi that I'd like to look at together with you. Shomen Oysa the Kosovar. Rashi is going on the case of Peros, according to Rebbe Meir, Peros Amechubarim Lakarka. So Shomen Oysa, we assessed the difference in value of the field with the fruits versus without them. The Kosovar Mashugodal Birshuso Havu Peros, that which the Rebbe Meir is of the opinion that which grows while the field is in their own domain, after the wife inherited it, that's considered in his domain, so that's considered fruit. So Mashe lo godal birshuso, that which doesn't grow in his domain, meaning it grew in the domain of the benefactor, have a keren. So that's part of the principle. Lefikach ma shidmei akarka yikorim achshav b'shvil tvua zu. Therefore, the increased value of the land with all of the grain growing in it, Sorech litain lo domim. So he has to allocate money for that difference. The yiknu mehen karka, use that money for the purchase of land. The yochal hu peroseha, and the husband will then be entitled to those grains or those fruits that are growing there. Let us continue in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Mokom, now Rabbi Shimon makes points that we've called Aleph and Beis, and then the Mishnah will explain these points. So he first starts by saying, Mokom Shiyofa Koichoi B'knisasa, Hora Koichoi B'yitziyasa. Where the husband's strength is strong, we'll say has the upper hand, with regard to her entrance to the marriage, we find under those very circumstances the husband is weak in the case of a divorce where she leaves the marriage. Malkum Shahira Kaikhibiknisasa, where the husband has a weakened position upon the entrance, Yafe Kaikhai Biatsiyasa. In that very circumstance we find his increased strength in the departure. Keita. Now what do we mean by that? Peros Hamuchubarim lekarka, fruits that are attached to the ground. Beknisasa, when the property enters their family, in other words, when the wife inherits a property with fruits attached to the ground, yet. So, shelo, those are viewed as his. Ubiitziyasa, if he comes to divorce his wife, and at that time, those fields that she had inherited have fruits growing in them. Shela, those belong to her. They're attached to the ground. She takes the ground and everything attached to it. Vatlushin minakarga, fruits that are detached. Beknisasa, upon their entrance to the family when she inherits them. Shela, they're viewed as hers. They're considered a principal value, and as we saw above, they have to be sold and land is bought instead. Ubitziyasa shelo, fruits that grew from lands that she had inherited but had become detached in the course of time, and now he divorces her, shelo, he keeps them. That which he harvested from her fields prior to the divorce, so that remains, that belongs to him under the heading of peros, that a husband is entitled to. The Gemara now has a discussion that we introduce on the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, Naflu lo ksofim, a woman inherits cash, ma yesh lahadif liknois behem, what is the choice item to purchase with them? So you're going to have a choice, and the choice is manifest by the husband saying one thing and the wife saying another. What should be purchased? So, pshita, it's obvious, ara ubati, that if one says, I want to buy land, and the other one says, I want to buy houses, ara, land is to be purchased. Rashi says that the benefits from land are greater. In other words, land can be cultivated and food produced from it, and it doesn't rot. There's no real depreciation on a piece of land. And as a result, whichever one of the couple, the husband or the wife, wants the land and the other one wants the house, so the choice to purchase land will be the way to go. Bati v'dikli, let's say you have the woman inherited cash and one wants to buy houses and the other one wants to buy palm trees. So the item to prefer, bati, or houses. Houses produce, Rashi talks about schor and meruba. I'm assuming that the houses in which they're inheriting are able to be rented out. So there's greater income from houses than from palm trees, being that palm trees are subject to drying out. So that whatever profits might be realized from the produce, one has to take into consideration the downside of their drying out. Another choice, Dikli Vilni, palm trees versus other kinds of trees. So you prefer Dikli. Ilni Vigufni, if it's other kinds of trees, I'm assuming, of course, we're talking about other fruit-bearing trees, versus Gufni, versus vines, Ilni are to be preferred. We have now a new situation. That's why you can see a slash mark on the side of the Gemara. We call this under our nosei. We call this topic Beis. Naflu lo, a woman inherited a ya'ar liktos. Ya'ar is a forest for the purpose of cutting down the trees. Or a woman inherited chafira mleya dogim, a pond full of fish. Hayim din ho eitzim v'hadogim keperos o kekeren. How do we view the wood of that forest that she inherits, or the fish in the pond that she inherits? Are they viewed as peros or as principal? And when something is viewed as principal, as we've said already, so then the husband would have to take their value or sell them and in exchange buy land and benefit from the fruits of the purchased land, thereby ensuring that the principal remains for the wife. The Gemara. Iba Zardisa. The word Iba means a forest. So she inherited a forest, we'll call it a lumber-producing forest. Zardisa is a type of tree. And whatever fruit it produced wasn't good, wasn't considered of significance. Those kind of trees were harvested, were cut for their lumber value. And Pira Dekavri, she inherited a pond. Rashi talks about a chafira, an area dug out for what we would probably call a fish pond. Amri law Pira, the Amri law Karna. We take a look at Rashi. Amri la pira, im naflu la birusha, ktsitsas ha'etzim, the dogim shebechafira, the cutting of the wood, and the fish in the pond, hu perion. That is considered the peros. Vakarka hu keren. And the ground is the principle. The Amri la, another version, another opinion. Rashi continues, kulu havu karna. The whole thing is called principle. Ha'ilva eitz v'adogim kolim, since wood and fish, what they kolim comes from word like we say vayichulu, something that's finished off. Kola is to dissipate, to become finished up. So they are things that do not last once you take the wood. So the wood that was there is no longer there. The fish that are there are no longer there. V'hakol imocher miyad, and everything is to be sold immediately. All of the wood, all of the fish. V'yilokach ben karka v'ochel peros. So now we turn back to the Gemara, Klola de Milsa. The general rule is, Gizoi Machlif, if it's something that replenishes, Gizo literally is the trunk of a tree. Machlif means it replenishes. Once when you cut it, it grows back. So things that have that characteristic, that when you remove it, like the fruit from a tree, so more fruit grows next year. That's gizoi machlif. So that's called pira. And gizoi machlif, if it is something that does not replenish itself, then karno, then it's viewed as principle. Now I'm assuming that when it came to the forest with trees in it, when we spoke about the trees being used for lumber value, that means you're chopping down the tree. That tree is finished; it doesn't replenish itself. If you were simply chopping branches or pruning branches, that would be a different story. But here you're chopping down the entire tree. Rashi at the very end of the page says, "Elon ein gizoi machlif." I'm assuming that Elon commentary of Rashi is a reference to the forest that was inherited for its lumber value. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Zera, Omar Rabbi Oshi, Omar Rabbi Yanai. Now it's just a slight change in names. Instead of Rabbi Zera, we put in Rabbi Abba. The Amri Law, Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rabbi Oshaya, Omar Rabbi Yanai. Hagonev, one who steals. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Vlad Behemas Milug. A woman had inherited a cow that gave birth. The thief steals the calf, the Vlad of the Behemas Milug. Now, in general, I'm sure many of you are aware that when the sin of theft, stealthful theft, transpires, the offender, the thief, has to repay not only the principal, but the principal plus one, meaning double the amount. That's called tashlume kefel. So, in a situation like this, that the vlad of the calf of a cow that a woman inherited was stolen. Mishalim tashlume kefel liisha. The double payment is made to the woman, not to her husband. We look at Rashi at the top. Tashlume kefel liisha v'lo labal kosal kadeitoch de kosovar ein havlodois peri. Elo Karen. The thinking at this point is that the offspring of the animals are not viewed as fruit. They're viewed as principle. The lokach ben karka. And they are to be used for the purchase of land. The chayshinon shema tomus ha'em. The fear is that the mother animal that the wife inherited will die. The echale ha'keren. And if the mother dies, there's no more principle left. So we view the calf as a principal replacement, and therefore it represents Karen or principal. If it's stolen, the wife receives the double payment. It's her item that was stolen. The Gemara reacts to this ruling, this ruling of Rava, of Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Abba, and says that this ruling is keman, like whom, tanaically speaking, lo kerabonan velo kechananya. It's not like either of the tanoim that deal with this topic. Disanya, here's a brisa that deals with the vlad of a behemoth, and then we'll talk about the vlad, the offspring of a maidservant, of properties that belonged to the wife. Are they considered pre or keren? So this source reads, Vlad behemas malug lebal. The husband is the owner of the calf of a cow that the woman brought into the marriage. Vlad Shivchas Melug. The word Melug is a reference to properties that the woman brought into the marriage. So the Vlad of a maidservant that the woman brought into the marriage, that the, that child of slave is a slave. Who owns that? Leisha. That belongs to the wife. V'chananya ben Achi Yoshaya ben Achi Yoshia Omar Osu Vlad Shivchas Melug Kivlad Behemas Melug. We treat the child of the maidservant the same way of the as the Vlad of the Behemoth regarding ownership, and it belongs to the husband. So when you focus on the Vlad Behemas Melug, whether you are the Tanakama or Chananya ben Achi Yoshia, it belongs to the husband. The ruling that we saw at the top of the Amid says that Vlad goes to the wife, so that this Amoraic ruling doesn't conform to any Tanaic precedent. The Gemara responds, Afilu Temo Divrei HaKol. That which we said, that the kefel payment for the theft of the Vlad Behemas Melug goes to the wife, that all Tanoim would agree with. Why is that? Piro tokinu le rabbonon. Piro de piro lo tokinu le rabbonon. The rabbinic enactment entitling a husband to the byproducts, the produce of property owned by the wife, applies to the, we call it the first level or first generation produce, but not produce produced by the produce. So when you look at the calf of the cow that the woman owns, that the wife owns, don't say like we thought before that the calf represents an extension of the principle. Not so. The calf itself is the peros. And the calf itself is what the husband is entitled to. However, the profit that's realized through the calf, namely in the case of its being stolen, the thief has to pay twice the calf's value, so that extra payment is considered profit from the profit, profit from the fruits. That was never given as an entitlement to the husband. So once again, the first generation profits, immediate profits are to the husband, but profits from the profits are not. We continue now with an analysis of the Tanoim. Bishlamo lechananya, I understand, according to Chananya, the Vlad of the Shivcha and the Vlad of the Behema all belong to the husband. Hainu delo chayshinon lemisa. We saw this idea in Rashi earlier, and that is that we don't consider, we don't worry, or we don't anticipate the death of the mother animal, the death of the maidservant. And since we don't think about their deaths, they represent a reliable principle, a principle of longevity. And therefore, we can with comfort view the Vlad, the offspring, as the pre, and hence Shaykh, and then hence owned by the husband. Elo Rabbonon. Let us try to understand the opinion of the Rabbonon that made a split between Vlad Behema and Vlad Shivcha. According to Rabbonon, I Chayesh Lemisa, if one does worry or anticipate the death of the mother, then Afilu Vlad Behemas Melug Nami Lo. Then even the calf, the offspring of the animal, should be viewed as principal, and that should go to the woman, unlike the ruling of the Rabbanan, unlike the ruling of the Tanakama. Vilo chayshi lemisa, and if they don't anticipate death, namely the principal, in this case we'll talk about the maidservant, is viewed as solid principal. Afilu vlad shivchas melug nami, then the offspring of that maidservant should go to the husband, which the Tanakama did not say. The Gemara explains, it answers, Li'olam chayshi lemisa. The Tanakama does worry or anticipate death. And if that's the case, why is the Vlad of the Behemah going to the husband? V'shayni Behemah, de'ika ora. The difference between the Behemah and the Shifcha is that when the mother animal dies, there is still principle that remains, namely the animal's skins, the leather value of the mother. So principle remains even in the case of the mother dying, so we can view the Vlad as pre. According to this approach, only in a situation where, as a result of death, there is no principle left whatsoever, then we have no choice but to say that the Vlad is the pre, is the Karen, is the principle. But where in the with the death of the principal element, something remains of it, then the offspring can be viewed as pre, and the hence to the Baal, to the husband. Omar of Huna Bar Chiyo Omar Shmuel Halacha keChananya. According to Chananya, the all vlados, whether it's vlad shivcha or vlad beima, go to the husband. Omar Rova Omar Rav Nachman Afal Gav Omar Shmuel Halacha keChananya, that the vlados go to the Baal. Mode Chananya. Chananya will concede on a technical point. Shimizgarsha, if a man divorces his wife, and she will, of course, take with her any principal value that she had brought into the marriage. But in this case, she'll take not only the mother animal and the mother shifcha, noisenes domim, the woman is entitled in exchange for money that she pays to the husband that's divorcing her, the not la son. She'll take the offspring with her, but in exchange for money that she'll pay. Technically speaking, if we're ruling like Chananya, so the vlados belong, the offspring belong to the husband, so he's entitled to compensation. The point here is that the items themselves will go with the woman being divorced. Mipnei shevach beis aviha. This is a concept that it is related to in some way to something of, let's say, a set of sentimental value, but more accurately, it has to do with things that are associated with her father's house. She brought in the cow and she brought in the maidservant from her father's house, so that the produce, that which is produced from it, has significance, has a type of emotional significance possibly, that is translated into financial terms. And that's manifest over here with the woman being entitled to take the offspring with her, but of course in exchange for a cash payment or a value payment to the husband. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman, Hifnisa loy eiz lechalbo v'rochel legizasa v'tarnegulis lebeitzasa v'dekel leperoisov. A woman brings into a marriage a milk-bearing goat, a wool-bearing sheep, an egg-laying chicken, a fruit-bearing palm tree. Ochel v'holech ad shetichla keren. The husband benefits from these different forms of produce as long as he wants, until the principal is no longer there. So meaning he can milk the goat until the goat dies, he can shear that sheep until the sheep dies, and he doesn't have to consider buying the land with the milk and the wool shearings and the eggs and the dates that are produced. These are classic cases of the woman inheriting or bringing into the marriage an item of principle, and the byproducts are classic cases of peros, to which the husband is of course entitled. Omar Rav Nachman, Ailo le glima. A woman brings into the marriage a suit, a man's suit. Pirahave. The suit, I should say the wearing of the suit, represents the benefit from it. Michsibo v'ozil ad dekalya. The husband's entitled to wear that suit until it gets worn out. And the worn out fabric, the worn out material, that represents the keren. That represents the principle. So that, as we saw before, as long as some aspect of the principle remains, that is sufficient for entitling the husband to derive the additional benefits from it. Keman, this idea that Rav Nachman states, the idea that a fractional remnant of the principle constitutes the principle, according to which Tanaic authority would this idea appeal? So the Gemara answers, Ki hai Tana Desanya. It's like the Tana that appears in the following source. There are two opinions that appear in this source. We're going to be interested in seeing what the Chachomim hold. They appear at the end of the source. They will be the basis for Rav Nachman's reasoning or Rav Nachman's ruling. Desanya, Hamelach v'hachoyl hare ze peros. If a woman inherits a piece of a strip of land near the sea, and the sea water, as everyone knows, is high in salt content, there was a method of extracting the salt from the water by having ditches that are dug into the sand or into the strip of land bordering on the sea. Water would accumulate in these ditches, and it would then it would flow into it, and it was dug in such a way that the tide wouldn't withdraw the water, so the water would sit there in these ditches, and the water would evaporate, and leaving salt there. So the salt that accumulates in these ditches that are part of a piece of land that the woman inherited, the salt is clearly the peros, and that everyone will agree belongs to the husband. Chol is the sand. Rashi says, Mokum shenotlin chol abinyan, some type of land where they use the dirt for building purposes. So the dirt from that piece of land is referred to as peros. Now, more items. Pir shel gofris, machpir shel tzorif. The terms, or the words gofris and tzorif, represent, they in translating them, they translate it into different kinds of minerals. Some translate gofris as sulfur. I don't know. I don't commit myself to these kinds of translations unless we have a very strong tradition on them. Whatever the case is, it's something. It's a substance. It's a mineral that's mined or it's dug out. Now the woman inherited an area that has in it gofris. An area that has in it tzorif. What is the status of the gofris and the tzorif vis-a-vis the husband? Rabbi Meir Omer Keren. Rabbi Meir views it as principal. Hence, the husband is not entitled to mine that and keep it for himself. He would have to mine it and sell it and buy land with it and benefit from the fruits of that land. The Chachamim Omer Peros. The Chachamim say that it's considered peros. We should point out that the gofris and the tzorif, when they're mined, and there's a finite amount of it there, that you can reach a point where you've dug out all the gofris from that area, or you've dug out all the tzorif from that area. So according to Rabbi Meir, because the main value of the area is subject to non-replenishment. Once you dig it out, it's gone. And that which remains is of much less significance vis-a-vis the original value with the minerals in it. So Rabbi Meir is not willing to view the minerals as peros. Those are peros that are kola. They don't replenish themselves. The Chachomim, though, say that it's true. We can't argue about the facts that the minerals don't replenish themselves, but the land from which they were mined, that remains. So that the fact that that remains, that constitutes the principle. And whatever is found in the land that contains these elements is considered the fruits. What's the point? The point is that as long as something remains for the woman, the rest of it, the contents therein, is considered peros. Let's take a look at the Rashi, and we want to then tie this in to Rav Nachman's ruling concerning the suit. Rashi says, and we're looking at Rashi more than halfway down the Rashi column, V'chachomim omrim peros. The Chum say that the Gofris and the Tzorif is viewed as peros. Umokom haguma, where the hole is left, yelo lekeren, that remains for the woman. The property, the mind property, it remains for the woman. Umize yochal habal ad shiyichle, and from the that mokom haguma, the husband can enjoy until it's finished. Shizeh pirio v'derech hanoso, that's considered its fruits and its normal way of benefit. V'adin leglima, and here we emphasize this, we dashed on us in the Rashi, this is the tie-in, this is the reason we brought this Tanaic source in, to show that the opinion of the Chachomim is the basis for Rav Nachman's ruling with regard to the suit of clothing. V'lo domu leksofim uperos hatlushim, the minerals in the ground are not similar to the inheritance of cash or the inheritance of disconnected fruits. Shenecholim mibli shiur, they're consumed with nothing left. The chopruta pruta hoil vienon oisin pri have keren liatzma. Each coin in the inheritance of cash, each and every coin, the coin doesn't produce fruits, so therefore the coins are themselves considered principal. So what, the husband can't just take the coins and do with it whatever he wants. Therefore, in that case, he takes the coins, buys a piece of land, the land remains for the woman, and the husband benefits from the produce. We continue in the Gemara. Reb Shimon Omer, Mokum Shiyof Lekoichoi. Reb Shimon, as we saw in the Mishnah, describes a case where if she comes into the marriage with detached fruits, so there he has to buy land with it, and his, in other words, his strength regarding them at their entrance is weak. But when he divorces his wife and there are detached fruits from the fields that she brought into marriage, that he can keep. That idea regarding, for example, Paris Hatzlushin, that the Tanakhama said as well. And the Peros HaMechuborim, that Reb Shimon said, that when they are attached to the land, so when he comes into the, she comes, they inherits land with fruits that are attached to the land. So Reb Shimon said in the Mishnah what you are to do with that. The first impression one gets by learning Reb Shimon is that he and the Tanakhama are saying the same thing. So the Gemara asks Rabbi Shimon, Haina Tanakhama, what does Rabbi Shimon say that the Tanakhama didn't? Omar Rava, Mechuborim B'Sha'as Yitziyah Iko Binayu. There is a point of difference. It's the case of fruits that remain attached to the land at the point that he divorces the wife. We look at Rashi. Mechuborim b'shas yitziyah. We're looking at Rashi in the lower part of the narrow lines. Delo ayru behu rabbona. The rabbona did not mention that case of fruits that remained attached at the point of divorce. Les lehu, the Rabbonan will not hold Hoda Amar Reb Shimon b'itziyasa shela. Reb Shimon said that if a woman is divorced and takes with her the land that belongs to her, and that land happens to have fruits attached to it, Reb Shimon says they go with the woman. Reb Shimon will not agree with that. The Kosavri, the Chachamim, will say, Mashe Godel Bereshuso, that which grew in the husband's domain while he was still the husband, Shelo, that belongs to him. The Rashi goes on to tell us, V'tolush b'shas yitzio lekula meymar depligioleo, as far as detached fruits at the time of divorce, there isn't any room to say that the Rabbanan argue with Reb Shimon on that. The Neimru Shelah, to suggest that they belong to her, the even the Tolshana kol moedim shezochman, once the husband harvested them, he detached them, everyone agrees that they belong, those fruits will belong to the husband. Before we continue with the Mishnah, let us glance at the side. We have a topic heading, the Nosei. Machloikis Tanoim Be'inyin Mechiras. We're going to see a Tanaic controversy regarding the sales of Avodim Zekenim, a woman who inherited old, elderly slaves, Zaysim Ugvanim Zekenim, olive trees, grapevines that are aged. Haim hi yechilu la'akev, can she resist their sale mishum shevach beisavi, on the grounds that the items are those that she brought in from her father's house, that which we referred to earlier as a type of sentimental value. We say sentimental value as a means of relating to this concept of Shevach Beis Avia. We turn to the Mishnah. Noflu lo avodim u'shvach zekenim. A woman inherits elderly slaves and maidservants. Imachru, they're to be sold. V'ilokach mehen karkavu ochel peros. The money received for them is used to purchase land, and the husband will benefit from the fruits. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, lo simkor mipnei shein shevach beisavia. They are not to be sold, so that that the wife can object to their sale. Noflu law zaysim ugfanim zekenim. She inherited olive trees, grapevines that are old. Yimachru v'ilokach bohen karka v'hu ochel peros. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo simkor b'nei shehen shevach beisavia. So Rabbi Yehuda here says regarding these items says the same thing as Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said regarding the avodim and shvach zekenim. As you can see, we have a marking to explain as we start the Gemara. On the side under the Mivne heading, a double underline is featured. Shnei Lishonos B'Rav Kahano Marav, two versions of Rav Kahano Marav, B'Kesher Li'etzim Sheheim B'Soda She'eino Shela. A woman whose father, let us say, had bought a tree in someone else's field, and the father died, the daughter, this married daughter, inherits a tree that is found in someone else's field. What are we to do about this? So the Gemara says, Omar of Kanu Rav, Machloikis Shenoflu Besode Shelah. The machlokas we saw in the Mishnah regarding the zekanim and gfanim, the zaysim and gfanim zekanim, can she retain them or not? That's in a case where these old items, these old trees, are in a field that belongs to her. So that even if the trees go, the land will be held by by the woman. There's still a principle that remains. Avol b'sode she'eino shelo, but in the case of a tree that's growing in a field that doesn't belong to her, divrei hakol, everyone will agree, timkor, mishum dekokalio karna, that tree is to be sold, because otherwise the Karen, the principal, will be finished off. There'll be nothing that remains. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Harei avodim ushvachas. Dechisod eshena shel adami. The case of the old slaves and maidservants. They are similar to the case of a tree that's in a field that's not hers. In the case of the tree in a field that's not hers, an old tree, it withers and dies. Nothing's left. Old maid servants and slaves, they die. Nothing is left. So they are parallel ideas. Upligi. And yet, regarding the case of Avodah Mishvachas, we saw a machlokes. So how can you say that with regard to the tree in a field that is not hers, everyone agrees that the tree is to be sold so that you maintain the principle and the husband benefits from those fruits? We don't see. We see that, in fact, not everyone agrees. Elo I itmar, hochi itmar. If Rav Kana Marav said anything, he would have said as follows. Om Rav Kana Marav, machloikis besod eshena shelo. There is the Mishnah featured a machlokes about old trees and old olive trees and grapevines. That machlokes was in a case where they were growing in a field that was not hers. Their father had bought only the trees, not the surrounding land. Avo besode shelo, when you're dealing with old vines and olive trees that are growing in a piece of land that is hers, she inherited the land with these old trees. Divrei kol lo simkar. Everyone will agree that the old trees are not to be sold. Mipnei shevach beisovia, because of her attachment to them, being that they're items that came from her father's house. On the side of the Gemara, as we approach the new Mishnah, we have a topic heading, which reads, Baal shehoitzi hoitzois al nichse ishto. A husband invested in his wife's property. Property will produce fruits, but you have to cultivate the land. You have to invest in other means, in additional means for that to take place, including fencing and an irrigation system, etc., and so forth. So those are hotzos. Those are expenditures. A husband makes expenditures on his wife's property, v'omad v'girsha, and then one day he decides to divorce her. Mao shi kabel hechzer al oisim hoitzos. Can the husband receive compensation for the investments he made? Imochal miperos oisam nechosim. If the husband benefited from the fruits of those properties that he had invested in, afilu porto, even if he benefited rather little, far less than the amount he invested, eino mekabel hechzer, he's not entitled to any return. Hagemara tidon b'man nechshav keachilo. The Gemara will analyze what is considered quantity-wise. What do we mean by a small amount of benefit, which would thereby eliminate the possibility of the husband receiving compensation? The Mishnah. Amoitzi oitzos al nichse ishtoi. A man invested expenditures on his wife's property. Hoitzi harbe v'ochal kimo kimo v'ochal harbe. If he spent a lot of money and consumed little, but he did consume a little. Kimo means a small amount. Or he invested kimo and ochal harbe, small investment with large returns. Masha hoitzi hoitzi umasha ochal ochal. If he divorces her, whatever he invested, and whatever he ate, no returns. no compensation for his investment in the property. If the husband made expenditures and did not realize any benefit from that property, upon their divorce, he has the option of swearing how much he actually spent and can demand a compensation for his expenditures. The Gemara asks for kamo kimo. How much is a little? We said in the Mishnah that if he ate a little, so that's it. He can't expect any compensation for his investment. So how much is that little? Omar Ravasi, afilu grogeres achas. Even if it's one fig, the who she'ochlo derech kavoid. We'll simply translate, and it's provided that he enjoyed that fig, he ate that fig in a derech kavod, in a respectable fashion. Omar, we continue at the top of Daf Pei Omar Aleph, Rebbe Abba, Amri Bei Rav, Afilu Shigro Ditamri. We look at Rashi on the top. Rabbi Abba Omar, Afilu Shigro Ditamri, Tmorim Nidoichin Yachad. Dates that are pressed together. Kederach Shadorsum Te'enim Yachad, Litros. Similar to the fashion, in the fashion that figs are pressed together into fig, we call fig cakes that we call Litrois. Af Elu Cain, Umikri Shigro. So too with the dates. And dates that are pressed together are called Shigra. The point that is being made, that would also be considered an achila derech kavod. Boy Rav Bevai, chuvso de tamri mai. Rashi says chuvso de tamri, lachas she'osub en shechard. Dates were used for making beer. So we have a barrel of date beer. The dates that are there after the beer was made, the nishar hapsoilus, the residue was left. Inami nidoichin harbe kidei lasos mehem shecho, or a reference to dates that were very pressed extensively for the purpose of making beer. What status does chuvtsa de tamri have with regard to the concept of kovod that we saw at the bottom of Ayin Tesamid Beis, v'hu she'ochlo derech kovod? Does that constitute an achila derech kovod? Teku. So that remains unresolved. Lo ochlo derech kovod mai. Let us say that he benefited from the property, but his eating of it was not derech kavod. How much achila then, how much consumption then would be considered a consumption which would thereby deprive him of receiving any rebate for his investments? Omar Ula, pligi ba trei amoroi b'marova. Ula says that there are two amoroim in Eretz Yisrael that argue over this. Chad omar b'ki isar. One says the value of fruits equaling an isar, it's a denomination of currency. V'chad omar b'kedinor. Dinar is a larger denomination. They'd have to eat up to a dinar's worth, and only then would he not be entitled to compensation. Amri Dayone de Pobedisa. It was reported by the Dayone de Pobedisa, literally the judges of Pobedisa, but Dayone Pobedisa is really a reference to Rav Popa Bar Shmuel, as is stated in Sanhedrin, which Rashi quotes over here. So he said, Ovad Rav Yehuda Uvda Bechavile Zmoros. Rav Yehuda ruled the decision of Masha Ochal Ochal in a case, namely a husband had invested in the property and he divorced his wife. Is he entitled to a rebate? Well, he said no, because of Chavile Zmoros, the husband had taken a bundle or bundles of branches and used that to feed his animals. Tree branches, Rashi points out, is considered food that's given to elephants. And in this case, I don't know if the husband was an elephant owner, but he had a behemoth, and he gave the branches to his animal. And that's considered having benefited from the field. Rav Yehuda Litame. Rav Yehuda, in saying that the consumption of branches is considered achila, it's considered use, or considered a benefit from, is a reflection of Rav Yehuda's opinion elsewhere. The Amar of Yehuda, Rav Yehuda stated regarding an unrelated halacha, it's regarding what's called achieving a chazaka in property. Briefly, if a person bought land from a seller, in order to establish his ownership of the land, he receives a deed. He has a shtar that testifies to his ownership. How long are people expected to hold on to those documents? So according to the Gemara in Bava Basra, the third perek, we learn that after 3 years, it would be too much to expect a person to hold on to his shtar. How then, if he, let's say, after 3 years, a person doesn't have a shtar, how can he prove ownership? So he can prove ownership if witnesses would testify that he's been using the field in an uninterrupted fashion without protests for a period of 3 consecutive years. Now, that scenario would be a sure source of proof, or a sure basis of proof, for the land purchaser. That's called a chazaka. Now, how does one achieve a chazaka? So we said by normal use of land for 3 consecutive years. The teaching of Rabbi Yehuda states, if during those 3 years there was the field, let's say, was the field that the fellow purchased was a fruit tree producing field, and he bought the field when the trees were still within their first 3 years of development. That has to do with laws of Orla, where a person is not allowed to benefit from fruits, specifically from the fruits of young trees during their first 3 years. So let's say a person bought a field with saplings in it, with new tree plantings. So the trees are still within their Orla years. Is there fruit for him to benefit from? No. How can he be said to achieve a chazaka if of those 3 years there are Orla years? That's Ochla Orla. So we point out, Rashi explains, that during that time, that though the fruits are usher, he's allowed to benefit from the branches. Another example, another situation, Shvius. We spoke about the man who purchased the field using it for 3 consecutive years. Let's say one of those 3 years is the sabbatical year. During the sabbatical year, so land cultivation is prohibited. It's considered unowned in terms of rights of the public to whatever happens to be growing on the trees. Nevertheless, one of the 3 years is a Shvius year. The Kilayim, let us say that the vines that were growing on the land that he purchased were Kilayim. That means that there was mixed bred. There were different crops that were planted in close proximity to the vines. That's Kilayim. So Rashi points out Shezora Kilayim, Vazmoros Lo Nesru, the branches are not prohibited. So he says that Hare Zu Chazaka, the use of the field that's an Orla field, or it's a Shemitah year, or it's Kilayim, the use is going to be manifest in the use of the branches. The owner is going to be cutting the branches for his own purposes. That constitutes a chazaka. So what do we see from this? We see that Rabbi Yehuda views the use of branches as a means of establishing a chazaka, and hence it also will constitute a husband's benefiting from the field, which would thereby deprive him of receiving a rebate for his investments. Omer of Yankiv, Omer of Chisto, Hamoitzi Utsos al Nichsei, Ishtoi Ketana. A man married a woman who was a minor. She was married to him rabbinically, a girl whose father died, but she has a mother or a brother that marries her to a man. That's called a rabbinic marriage. The unique feature of a rabbinic marriage is that the girl one day can decide to walk out. That's called mi'un. She walks out, and it's considered as if she was never married. So a man is married to a girl like that, and he made expenditures on her property. Rav Chisda says, "Kemotzi al nichsei acher domi." It's as if he made improvements in some stranger's field, in a neighbor's field. What does that mean for us? That means that if this girl would be mimaenis, would walk out on him, the husband that made these investments is entitled to compensation like an oris, like a sharecropper is entitled to compensation when he leaves the field that he was working on. My taima, why do we say that the husband is entitled to compensation? And why is it that we don't apply the standard that we mentioned in a regular marriage divorce situation where we say, Masha hotzi hotz, Masha, you know, if he imo chalport, if he ate a little bit, that's it, he's not entitled to compensation. Here we're saying he's entitled to compensation as a sharecropper is entitled to compensation. The Gemara answers, you want to know why? Ovdu bo rabbonan takanto. The rabbonan made an enactment that's actually for the girl's benefit. Ki hechi delo nifsedinhu. So that the husband would not allow the field to go to ruins while they are married. Just imagine a man is married to a woman that can walk out on him at any moment. How much would he invest in her properties? Probably nothing. He's always with the fear that whatever he does can be lost instantly just by her walking out on him. And in such a case, a man who marries a girl that has properties, you know what he'll do with it? He'll take advantage of the properties. He'll squeeze them for whatever it's worth without making any investments in it. So in order to prevent that from happening, we tell the man, listen, if she walks out on you and you made investments, you will get compensated. And that's what the Gemara means when it says, ki hechi delo nifsedinu for it hefseid, so that the husband doesn't cause a loss. We go through the Rashi on this. Rashi says, shemotzi or kemotzi al nichsei acher, and if she walks out on him, shomin lo shevach v'shishbiach, we make an evaluation of how much was the value of the improvement that he made. V'notel kamishpot arisei hamedina, and he will then get compensated in accordance with the way workers get compensated for their services in fields. The rabbis made this enactment. Rashi says that what's the enactment? That we make an assessment of his improvements as we would in the case of an oris. So that he shouldn't take advantage and ruin the fields and just consume the fruits without making any improvements in them, without investing in them. He's worried that she might just walk out on him. Timoin literally means refuse to continue with him. And now that we enact this enactment, that we assess the value of the improvements and compensate him like a worker, su lo mafsid lehu. He then won't squeeze the fields benefit from the fruits and not make any improvements, because meima omar, he'll figure shema lo tamayin, maybe she won't walk out on me, so it's worth my while to cultivate the field. And if she does walk out, hare etol shvachi lefi amoli, I will be able to get compensated for the improvements in accordance with the amoli, the work that I invested in it. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.